Hello and welcome to Bunkum. It is Bunkum number 61, part 5 of the Redressers, and it's me, your internet favorite, Dan Grubb. 61 episodes, that's exciting. That is nearing retirement age in podcast years. So that's really exciting. I'm happy to be along for 61 episodes, 2.5 years. It's been a lot of changes. The most recent change lately, I got a new job, have to pack up and move. But it's an exciting step up. I'm moving from Virginia to a secret lab under the Pacific Ocean. So that'll be exciting. There's the, you may have heard of the giant, steady rhythmic thrum, this very subsonic, too low for human ears to hear, wave. It's a steady rhythm coming from the South Pacific. And, some people jokingly think that it's Cthulhu, slumbering. So I am joining a team that's going down there that has been studying that, specifically as their social media manager. So that'll be fun. With my, there's about 4, maybe 5 people who actually read what I post on Twitter. So, I think I've got social media manager cut out. I think that's, the career path for me. You know, this thrums for you. I can hashtag with the best of them. You know, thrum a 70s band. You know, thrum a James Bond movie. You know, I'm good at those Mad Lib hashtags. So yeah, I think it'll be a good time. And I mean, the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, it doesn't have the best school districts. So I'm worried a little bit about the kids, but one's almost done and the other, you know, she's finishing 4th grade. That's close enough. That's enough education if it's like 120 years ago. So, you know, good enough for now, right? I mean, she knows how to work a tablet. That's all you need in this world. Anyway, so we're continuing with the Redressers. And I'm excited to get to that because we're really getting into it this episode. It's really taking off in the new direction. And I can't wait to get to it. But before we get there, a little bit of business. This episode of Bunkum is brought to you by Privilege Rank. Privilege Rank is the groundbreaking new platform that shows exactly where you rank among the world's 7 billion people. If you're like me, a straight cis white male nerd who spends too much time on Twitter, then you probably lack the perspective and emotional intelligence to know where you stand in the world. Maybe you think that you're at the top and every woman and non-white person is beneath you. Maybe you think that, as a nerd, you couldn't possibly have privilege over anyone. My theoretical friend, who I probably wouldn't want to meet in real life, you are in luck. Privilege Rank will compile your age, sex, race, family background, income, nation of origin, religious information, physical and mental health, and other social and environmental data to show you where you stand in the world. Use the social media plugins to see whether the comment that you're typing right now will count as punching up towards an oppressor or punching down towards someone who's experienced systematic dehumanization that you can't imagine. Guess which one it's usually going to be. Make a game of it. Experiment with changing factors in your life to adjust your rank. It's probably futile, but maybe you'll learn something. Maybe you'll learn something. Ah, that's a good one. I have a privilege rank of 174,027,358, putting me in the top 2.5% most privileged in the world. See where you rank today, and then shout about how biased it is towards people like you without a shred of irony with Privilege Rank. It's Bunkum! left our heroes. Mia had reluctantly agreed to help Dwayne commit insurance fraud. Dwayne would lure a robber to his bodega, and the Redressers would rush in and trash the place in a fight. The Redressers, Episode 5. Dwayne ordered another beer. After 2 hours of searching Yelp for dive bars and roadhouses in Big City, and filtering the results for graffiti and chairs that are easy to smash, he decided the Heaving Possum was the place to go to find someone to rob his bodega. After sitting at the bar for 3 hours, though, his enthusiasm was starting to lag. Just then, a wild-eyed man plopped down on the stool next to him and pulled a few dollars out of a duffel bag. "Give me a quadruple, Jimmy," he said. The bartender poured some drain cleanser whiskey into an old fast food souvenir Looney Tunes glass and slid it to him. The man gulped most of it down and set the glass on the bar. As smoke arose from the whiskey eating through the glass in the bar beneath it, Dwayne knew he had found his criminal element. "Say," Dwayne nonchalantly began, "don't you hate it when other people have stuff you want? I know it makes me want to take it, right?" The man looked at him suspiciously. "You're speaking awfully openly about your antisocial compulsions." "Well, it's a changing world. Openness is the new mystique." "I don't know. Sounds like entrapment." "Ha! I don't know the meaning of the word." Dwayne pulled out his phone and looked up what entrapment means. He turned back to the stranger. "Oh, man, I definitely do not want to do entrapment. No, I'm just a big fan of theft." The man cocked an eyebrow. "Theft, huh? Yeah, theft is okay. But how do you feel about robbery?" "Oh, yeah. I'm super into robbery," Dwayne said. "Are you?" "I enjoy a rob now and then." "Right? It's great. Other people have stuff, you take it, and then you have it." "Ha," the man said. "You're a real rob head, aren't you?" "The name's Duharm. Robbing Jack Duharm." "My name is, nickname Nick. And let me tell you, I've got a tip. Dwayne's A1 top-notch elite fast quick diamond lucky first stop mart shop. It's very successful and definitely the place to hit. Lots of cash just lying around in piles. And a cowardly cashier with a big paunch and asthma and social anxiety." "I love this idea. But before I trust you, you're going to have to pass the Robbing Jack Duharm's robber's test." "Okay. What's the best part about robbery?" "Getting money, of course." Robbing Jack Duharm raised his fist. Dwayne cowered and quickly said, getting other people's money because we like causing trouble and doing evil so much." Robbing Jack Duharm lowered his fist. "That's right. All right, let's go rob this asthmatic coward." He stood up, spread his arms, and shouted to the heavens, "I hate asthmatics!" As they headed for the man-shaped hole in the wall that the Heaving Possum's customers used for a door, another surly, downtrodden, crazed member of Big City's criminal underground stood up. "You heading for a job robbing, Jack?" "Yeah, the place is run by a real Weezer." "Any chances any of those dirty profiteers there?" "Probably not. Sorry." "Ah, Sockla Blue," he mispronounced. They stepped outside. Robbing Jack Duharm tisked and said, "It's a shame, really. I thought hating asthmatics was a hard criminal ethos. Poor Reggie got stuck basing his entire criminal career on victimizing middle school French teachers." They soon arrived at Dwayne's A1 top-notch elite fast-quick diamond lucky first stop mart shop. "Well," Dwayne said, "here we are. Need anything? A ski mask? Glock? Poison gas-spewing gun thematically linked to your modus operandi?" "No thanks. I picked a villain named Robbing Jack Duharm because I like to keep things simple." Jack shattered the glass with his crowbar and walked inside. Yes, there's two things I love to do. Rob and do harm. Oh, that reminds me. He opened the door to a refrigerated case, pulled out a gallon of milk, and swung the milk with both hands up into Dwayne's face. He then grabbed Dwayne by the collar and smashed the door on his head repeatedly. Ah, yes. Nothing fills my heart with childlike glee as much as robbing and doing harm. Dwayne spat out his teeth. Yes, I see what you mean. He shook himself out of the daze. But you also like wrecking the place, right? Oh, no, Jack said. I try to do as little damage as I can. It attracts too much attention. A door here and there is one thing. That's a necessary evil. But I like to slip in, get as much money as possible, hurt somebody, and slip back out. Dwayne froze, eyes wide. Wait, so you're not going to cause claim-worthy damage to this property? No, of course not. Besides the undesired attention, it could also lead to the owner of this place winding up with some fat insurance check. That goes against both my taking their money and my doing them harm. He spat on the ground. No, thank you. Say, where's that asthmatic clerk? Dwayne was near panic. This is going to be harder than he anticipated. He slyly reached into his pocket. He calmly pulled out his phone. He stealthily typed a mass text to the redressers to hurry up and come in. He subtly pushed the send button. He clumsily dropped the phone on the floor. He tensely looked up at Jack. He nervously watched Jack's eyes as he read the text. He suddenly found himself on the floor after Jack kicked him in the stomach. Just then, the redressers ran inside the store in full costume. Jack threw his hands up. I surrender. Just don't wreck the place. After a moment of confused silence, Azrala picked up the credit card reader, unplugged it, and threw it at Jack before rushing him. He blocked the reader with his arms, leaving him susceptible to Azrala shoving him into some shelves. Jack, the shelves, and about $800 worth of nearly expired meats tumbled across the floor. As Jack struggled to his feet, Dorazan waved his arms, seemingly causing the lottery kiosk to fly through the air of its own volition. After Frankenstein threw the kiosk, he ducked back behind the counter for his grand entrance. Mia came in next in her steampunk cosplay. She pressed a few buttons, activating the small motors controlling the fans and belts in her suit. It all looked very impressive and distracted Jack for a few seconds, while Frankenstein snuck up behind him and tapped him on the shoulder. Jack turned around, saw the hulking amalgamated graveyard, and screamed. Frankenstein knocked over a row of shelves and picked Jack up under the shoulders, holding him in the air while Mia tied his arms and legs together. Meanwhile, Dwayne was outside giving the address to the police dispatcher. A few minutes later, two squad cars arrived, and robbing Jack Duharm was off to jail for 15 months while his case was processed because he couldn't make bail. The police thanked Dwayne for keeping Jack at the scene. They'd been looking for him for months. As the police drove away, the redressers celebrated their first bona fide victory slash successful insurance fraud. The next day, Dwayne strolled confidently into the insurance office. An hour later, he strolled out with a fat check. Well, it was a thin, normal-sized check, but the amount on it was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. 4 days later, two police officers strolled confidently out of Dwayne's house with Dwayne handcuffed between them. Did you seriously think we wouldn't look at the security footage? That was the most obvious insurance fraud we've seen in years. The redressers watched from the basement window. As the police drove away, Catherine said, So we're going to break him out, right? That's what a real team would do. Mia, Carl, and Frankenstein made quiet, non-committal noises. Catherine added, Come on, guys. He brought us together and is trying to help our careers. We owe it to him. Frankenstein had a rebuttal.
Well, he did break the law. Plus, with him out of the house, I won't have to sleep in the basement anymore.
Mia walked over to Frankenstein's side of the room. I told him if he did anything to make me hate him, I'd be out. He got arrested, so I'm fine with walking away from all of this. Carl stood by Catherine. I hear you, but we all signed on for the robbery and fraud in the first place. It'd be hypocritical to turn on him now that he got caught. Ugh, fine. In order to take responsibility for my actions, I'll help break Dwayne out so he doesn't have to take responsibility for his actions. Catherine and Carl high-fived. Catherine asked, So what do you say, Vic? Are you in?
I suppose,
Frankenstein replied in his best Eeyore voice. Well, said Mia, I guess we'd better start figuring out the intricate details of how we're going to break Dwayne out. It'll probably take a really long time to work it all out. Can you imagine if we were in some serialized fiction story that has to have cliffhangers and constant drama? This would really make a dull episode. Just then, the wacky neighbor kid came in and said his wonderful catchphrase. Everyone on the recording of an audience had a good laugh.